Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.
Welcome to Starseed Radio Academy. It's Tuesday, December 20th, 2011, and I'm your host, Arielle Taylor, with my co-hosts, Lavendar and Sierra. Now, first off, we want to wish all of our Starseed family a very peaceful and happy holiday season. And near the end of the show, we have a few Christmas surprises from Lavendar and, of course, music from me. So please stay tuned. Our special guest on this Solstice Eve is Judy Carroll, an author, Tai Chi and Reiki master, and lifelong Zeta contactee. Judy will be with us live from Australia to talk about her 50 years of experiences with the often misunderstood Zetas, and also her books, Human by Day, Zeta by Night, and The Zeta Message. Her fully conscious daytime encounters with the Zetas have given her an expanded understanding of human consciousness and information on the Zetas themselves, as well as crop circles, ET implants, Star Children, Angels, God, Universal Consciousness, and 2012. We're so pleased to have her with us tonight. And her website is www.ufogreyinfo.com. We want to thank Sahar for filling in for Purple Sage this evening in the chat room, and thank Tammy for hosting the switchboard this evening. Sahar will forward your questions to us if you can't call in. And if you can call, our number is 917-889-8292. Then press 1 so we know you have something to say. You can also listen on your computer at blogtalkradio.com/starseed-radio-academy. If you haven't yet, please click follow on our show page to help our show become more visible, and you'll be notified of our upcoming topics immediately. And if you like the show, remember to tell a friend. We're well over the 70,000 listens mark, so thanks to all of you for tuning in each week and helping spread the word. On our main site, which is starseedhotline.com, we have a lot of vital information for Starseed in our Vault of Knowledge. The entire site is coded for Starseed activation. We also have a support forum for Starseed at starseedhotline.ning.com. Plus, we're on iTunes if you'd like to download our shows to go. We'll get started with Lavendar and Judy Carroll in just a minute, but first I'd like to let you know that if you want to contact us privately, the toll-free number for our website is 888-881-0881. Our Stage 1 Starseed confirmations are based on Lavendar's discovery of star markings and your natal astrological chart. And the Stage 2 session is a one-on-one phone consultation. You can find out if you have star markings and how they determine your natural state and rites of passage. We now offer a Stage 4 support service with Sierra for contactees and abductees. So check out Sierra's World on our main site. And don't forget, if you have a birthday coming up, you should know when your 10 hours of power will occur by requesting your solar return timing. Your manifestational ability is amplified 1,000-fold during those 10 hours, so do make the most of it. And now I would like to introduce my co-host, Lavendar and Sierra. Hello, ladies.
Lavendar here. We have such an exciting show tonight. Cannot wait.
Well, great. Sierra, good evening. Happy holidays.
Good evening. Happy holidays to you, ladies. Also, I'm so excited about speaking to our guests this evening. So let's go.
Let's just bring her on. Okay, everyone, this is Judy Carroll. Hello, Judy. You're on the air, and welcome to the show.
Hi, thanks very much for having me. I'm looking forward to talking to all of you.
Well, we're looking forward to what you have to say. Lavendar.
Well, first of all, I spent three different weekends reading your book, Human by Day and Zeta by Night, and I must say that I was very spellbound by the way you presented your material, and it was very reminiscent for me because the way you described the communication system between Earth and sky is a very familiar thing for me, and I have encountered a lot of the things that you spoke about in your book. So I would encourage those that really want to know the activities of Earth and sky to get your book. So I just wanted to let the audience know that I have read it, and I'm very excited to have the opportunity to ask you questions and to introduce you to our Starseed audience.
Oh, that's lovely, Lavender. Thank you so much for that.
Thank you. So, why don't you tell us a little bit about your childhood experiences and when your contact began? We'll start there.
Yes, okay. Well, my childhood experiences began when I was around the age of three, and the clearest memory I have of that is being taken up our street by a tall, thin, grandmother-type woman to board a train. Many years passed before I came to understand that the train and station image was actually a screen image and that I was actually taken onto a disc. It took me many years to get my head around this. As I grew older, I came to realise that there was no train or station anywhere near the top end of our street. It was just a cul-de-sac. And I used to ask my real-life grandmother to take me back on the train because I could remember it being such an exciting experience. And she never knew what I was talking about, and I was always accused of dreaming. I was just a dream, I was told, over and over again. And as I say, it took me quite a while to come to realise there was no station there, and because the fact it had been a very, very real experience. And I came to eventually realise when I regained more conscious contact with the Zetas that they use these screen images sometimes just to help people. For example, a child wouldn't have understood being taken onto a disc, but I did understand being taken onto a train. So it just helped me to bring it into my conscious mind more easily. I had another experience around the age of 15, which was a little bit more scary until years later I came up to understand what was going on, when I woke in the middle of the night paralysed from head to foot. I think a number of people who've had encounter experiences have experienced this. And what it actually is, it's when the ETs are helping you out of your body, because, of course, the body is only a physical vehicle, and they're helping our astral form out of the body, because the astral plane is a fairly easy and compatible meeting ground between our physical reality down here and the higher reality of many of the ETs' consciousness. And so they often help us to move out of the body so that communication can take place. But I remember lying there absolutely terrified, paralysed from head to foot, and watching the doorknob of my room turning and knowing there was someone out there. And the next minute I just lost consciousness, so I obviously had an experience and woke the next morning and everything was fine. That's about the most conscious memory I have of that. The most significant encounter, or the earliest and one of the most significant, actually happened in 1983 when I was age 30. It happened on a Sunday afternoon when I started feeling a little bit off colour, as if I was coming down with the flu. So I went upstairs to lie down for a while, and next thing I found myself again paralysed from head to foot, terrified of it again, unable to move a muscle. And there was a loud roaring, buzzing sound going on in my head, giving me a headache. The next moment, I became aware of two of the Zeta-type beings standing beside the bed. Now, they were fully present in solid third-dimensional reality. Their bodies were actually blocking some of the light coming in through the window, because remember, this was daylight, middle of the afternoon. Once I became aware of their presence, all my fear evaporated, and I recognised them as family. I also realised that one of them was a teacher that I'd been in connection with on a number of occasions through my life, and we'd had some very, very profound exchanges of information. I was aware of another one standing behind me and something being done to the top of my head, which I now know is the crown chakra point. It actually felt like my head was being opened up and something being done. a conversation followed between us during which I was advised that I needed to move from where we were living in the country back to the city. And the exact words used were, "You've spent enough time hiding yourself away out here. It's time you got back to work." Now, as this teacher and I had been discussing a few nights before in a very clearly remembered encounter, I was reminded of the fact that I'm actually one of them, but this time have chosen to be born into a human body. This is why I recognise them immediately as family. It was then explained to me that it was now time for me to wake up to a deeper conscious awareness of who and what I really am and why I'm here. But I was also told that I still had a lot of study to do on the earth-human level of my psyche to be able to carry out my Zeta work effectively and in a way people down here could relate to. So during this encounter, I was advised to learn meditation. It was also suggested that the best way for me to do this was through learning Tai Chi. Now, at that point in my life, I hardly even knew what that was, but this was the advice they gave me. Natural healing was something else I needed to learn, and I was told that someday I'd be teaching these things. This gave me a bit of a shock because I knew very little about any of this at that time. I'd been actually brought up a Catholic, educated in a Catholic convent, so I didn't know very much about these things. I'd never heard of ET contact on a conscious level at that point. Over the next 3 years, circumstances changed quite dramatically for me. We moved back to town in, I think it was about 1986, just as I'd been told by the Zeta family, and a series of amazing coincidences then began happening, which resulted in opportunities being put in place for me to learn and then eventually to teach Tai Chi. I also learned meditation and spiritual healing, and this in turn led me into Reiki, which I also now teach. So that experience back in 1983 was really the catalyst for everything that I'm doing now.
Oh, wow. So the Greys, the Zetas, we call them the Greys or Zetas, are they the same? And who,
yes,
and why are they here?
Yes, okay. To explain this, this is a very key question that many people ask. Why are the ETs down here and what are they up to? What are they doing? It's a simple but it's also a complex question. So just bear with me. I'll work my way into it to try to clarify. I'm sure many of the listeners would have heard of Colonel Philip Corso. He was employed in the US in what they call research and development in the military. And he was involved in back engineering material taken from the Roswell crash site. And during this process, he once put a question to one of the ETs. He actually had contact experiences himself. And the question he put was, "What can you offer us?" And the answer given was, "A new world if you can take it." Now, this little phrase or this answer that was given by this ET is the key to the whole ET encounter phenomenon, particularly to do with the Greys or the Zetas. Basically, it's a preparation that can be likened to the shamanic dark night of the soul experience, a preparation from where at for where our planet is going in the future. Now, what it's important to understand in this is the universe's energy. It's like a giant electromagnetic scale encompassing and vibrating at infinite frequency bands, and only a very small part of this is physical. Now, the physical universe that we see as planets, suns, galaxies, etc., is just a very small part of the whole or the greater reality which we refer to. Now, our mind is the key or the doorway through which we'll be able eventually to access the whole, like the greater reality. But we can only do this consciously through further evolution. Now, evolution in the human kingdom isn't so much a physical process, it's rather a soul process which encompasses mind and spirit. It's like an expansion and deepening of our conscious awareness into realms of the mind which are at present hidden and buried for most humans on Earth, for example, subconscious. Now, as this occurs, this opening up, we'll be able to consciously access higher and higher frequency bands of the greater reality. But before we can do this, we need to free ourselves of all limitations and fears, because these create like a false ceiling in our mind, which blocks our conscious perception of these higher realities. Now, this is what ET contact is all about, particularly with the Greys. they're actually caretakers of life force energy, or the universal force field. And what they're doing is moving or pushing us beyond the sphere, bringing it up to the surface. It's like subconscious fear that they all of us carry within us from past lives or from the present life, but usually from past lives, so it's very deeply buried. And their job is to sort of mirror these fears back at us and draw them up. It's almost like drawing a deep-seated infection up to the surface so it can be dealt with. And moving us beyond this fear, helping us to deal with it, then moving us beyond. And this, the key to this is to fully accept and recognize that we do have this power within us. They sort of push us to this point. It's a free will choice between love and fear, and this is the key to further evolution as humans, choosing this love over fear, but we have to move through the fear first. It's like moving through a fear barrier. You can see that's the way the world's going. We're really being made to choose. As one of the Zeta teachers said to me back in 2006, he said the years between 2006 and 2012 would be a real watershed. Everyone would have to choose love or fear, no ifs or buts. The Zetas are what are known as triers or testers of souls, and they're in fact honoured and respected as such by many Indigenous people and in Eastern cultures. It's really only in modern Western culture that people don't quite understand this. The greys will do whatever they must to push us to seek and find this God essence, our own self-empowerment, our universal life essence within all of us. And genuine contact with them is designed specifically to push us past our limited earthbound view of reality to enable us to access greater realities. When you're able to do this, you'll move past the fear to find love on the other side, which really will be a whole new world for you. But, you know, can you take it? That's the question the ET was putting to Philip Corso. So that's basically what it's about.
Okay. We hear that they're kind of robotic, as many contacts report. And do they have emotions? Can you elaborate on this?
Yes, absolutely. The genuine Zetas, and there is a lot of non-genuine, disinformation going on down here, but what I'm talking about, the ones I've had contact with are the genuine ones. They've actually moved past the need for physical incarnation. They're vibrating on a higher frequency beyond the physical. But when they are carrying out work on a planet such as Earth, and they actually carry out work on other planets, and they need to come down to the physical reality, they, how can I put this into simple terms, they don a physical or an astral body to enable them to do this. I mean, we all do this, basically, because really our physical body is really a vehicle for the soul. So what the Zetas have been able to do, they can consciously step into a physical body or step out of it. They're not as dependent on the physical body as we are. So this physical body can appear robotic because of that. It is actually a manufactured body, but they're not robots in that the intelligence behind it is not artificial, only the body's artificial. It's a very difficult thing to explain. I go into great detail on this in Human by Day Zeta by Night. I actually explain the process, as you would know, Lavender, having read it.
I noticed that in the book you talk about that some of them are dressed in black. Sometimes they have attire such as hats, which many people report seeing these ETs wearing. Can you tell us why they wear black? Is black any particular reason they wear that?
Yes, absolutely. Those who studied physics will understand that white is, in a way, no color. White is all the colours of the spectrum being reflected away, whereas black is where all the colours are being absorbed. Black isn't reflective, it contains all the colours in a way. Now, what the Zeta teachers do, they dress this way to symbolise the fact that they have balanced their chakra system, so therefore all their colours are balanced, and they have all the colours of the spectrum within them, so that what they do, when they're working with somebody down here, they'll actually reflect the chakra colour that person needs for their growth or to represent the chakra that person is supposed to be working with. Now, for example, the Zeta teacher that I work with, Maris, reflects the colour blue to me. He'll have a little touch of blue somewhere on his black outfit, like a little blue feather stuck in his hat band or something. And the reason being is blue is the colour of the throat chakra, and the throat chakra represents creative communication, which is the colour or the chakra that I've really needed to balance to be able to carry out this work as a writer and also now doing these interviews, speaking. I do quite a lot of them. So I really have had to have my throat chakra worked on tremendously. So he beams this colour at me as a healing modality. It's like a sort of a colour healing technique that they use. And we always say to people, when you have contact with the Zetas and you see them dressed in black, just really look very carefully to see if you can find a colour anywhere on them, or if there's a colour sort of that seems to be prominent in the atmosphere around them. And you can then look into your own chakra system. It's all the colour of the spectrum, and you can realise where you need to do your own work. It's quite interesting. It's like a message they send through to us.
Oh, I love that. The majority of people who have had contact with the Greys report having frightening or negative experiences with them. How did your relationship evolve to where you were no longer fearful of them?
Okay, I needed to come to a more conscious understanding of what was happening. I absolutely acknowledge this fear that people have. I understand it totally because I've been there. I know what it was like. I went through terrible fear as a child. Many people who are having experiences with the Zetas, because of the fact that they often appear in this sort of artificial-looking body, people have a fear of things like, for example, dolls, puppets, clowns, those sort of human-type effigy things. I know I was absolutely terrified of puppets. My mum had to actually black out a picture of a puppet that was in one of my storybooks. The other thing I was absolutely terrified of was eyes, because their eyes are very, very powerful. And again, she had to black out a picture in a storybook of this cat hiding in a bush with only its eyes showing. It's important that people know that a number of seeming encounters are actually staged from right here on Earth. They're not genuine encounters, and what's happening, these are being aimed at people who are having genuine encounters on purpose to make them afraid of the ETs who are here trying to help with their evolution. And so these poor people become extremely confused, just not knowing what's really going on. And this is why some people going through these ET encounter experiences have some good, pleasant encounters and some are quite unpleasant. I do acknowledge that. But at the same time, I know there's fear involved with genuine encounters as well.
So what is the purpose of the group on this planet that is doing this to confuse people? What is their agenda?
Well, basically to make people scared of the genuine ET contact experience so that people turn their back on it. What people need to realize is the genuine ET contact is it's an evolutionary process helping us to grow and open up to deeper and more expansive conscious awareness, which is going to give humans a huge amount of self-empowerment that many don't have now. So this group down here wants to keep us dumbed down. They don't want us to evolve in this way. So this is why they're portraying the ET contact as something quite frightening, which causes people to turn off it and be frightened and not want to have anything to do with it, which is a great tragedy.
So why are people being abducted?
Well, to assist in the evolutionary process. There's also some genetic work being done. Some people are receiving implants. These are quite interesting. The ET implants are actually put in for three reasons. They're to monitor our energy system. They're actually placed into the chakra system to heal and balance, a little bit like the way acupuncture needles work. Health problems arise from imbalances, so things like Reiki and acupuncture help to address these imbalances, and many of the implants that are placed into people's chakra system do this. It also enables us to raise our vibrational frequency to, say, for example, get to onboard a disc. It's like a cosmic boarding path, sort of. They also help to make us more creative, more psychic. Many people who've received implants suddenly become very, very psychic or very creative. They also assist in communication between down here and up there. They enable easier communication. The genuine implants are not normally physical. They're usually of a higher frequency, which enables them to be placed into the energy system.
Do you know anything about titanium implants?
No, I don't.
Okay. And why are the hybrids being developed?
Well, they're being developed for a couple of reasons. The main reason is that if, say, for example, the population of planet Earth was decimated through some sort of nuclear disaster or something, it's really important that humans continue their existence because, you know, planet Earth is a very important step in the process of things in the universe. And so our bloodlines are being carried on through the hybrids who can come down here and basically replace humans if that was to happen. If the best thing happens and the planet continues to go on as it is, which I have great feeling that it will, I don't think the whole thing's going to blow up, they'll just gradually be introduced into the population down here and will lend their assistance with the evolutionary process. It's just basically a blending of two races. We have their genetic material in us anyway, so it's sort of almost an exchange of genetic material that has been done many times before.
Can you give us a little insight to the plan from Atlantis and how that perhaps the souls that were living in Atlantis during the time of that destruction are back again, and how do the Greys or Zetas interface with that knowledge?
Yes, well, what happened, I'm sure many people are aware of what happened in Atlantis, that the whole civilization was destroyed through technology that was being used incorrectly. So what's happened, the goodies in Atlantis have evolved further, they've moved on, whereas the ones who misused technology back then are now coming back and being tested again to see if they've learnt their lessons or not. Because, I mean, to evolve spiritually is about making choices. It's about choosing between love and fear. And fear, is an example of fear, is using technology in a wrong way. So these ones are basically being tested again. I know that many psychics predicted that Atlantis would arise, but it's basically a reincarnation of the Atlantean energy rather than a physical arising of actual land masses from the ocean. It's the same as when a human reincarnates. Our body, our old body, doesn't rise up again. We come into a new body. And so that's what's happening with Atlantis. The Atlantean energy is now coming back down here through other physical channels.
Why are people who are taken up on disc often shown graphic images of major disasters happening on Earth or battles going on in space?
Yes, well, in these cases, what they're being shown is the possibilities of what could happen down here if people choose the wrong path, choose fear over love. So they're really being shown possibilities. I know that there have been many predictions of disasters and things happening on planet Earth. I'm aware of that. But really and truly, most of these or all of these are only possibilities. No one can really and truly predict the future because of the fact that we create our own reality. So therefore, the future very much depends on how we're thinking right now. So everything that comes up that shows as a future prediction is only a possibility of what could possibly happen if we don't learn to think in ways of love rather than fear. That's what that's about. It's like a warning.
I noticed in the book you had a whole chapter on 9/11. I was quite taken with what you described happened from the Zeta's point of view and from the Earth point of view. Can you just take a few minutes to walk us through how that all came about with the computers going down and everything?
Yes, that was a quite amazing happening. My co-author of the Zeta message, Helene Kay, her daughter Kira had absolutely full-on conscious awareness of going up to the disc every night, seeing me up there. We used to work together up there. I have some conscious recollection of it, but she had absolutely full conscious recollection. Anyway, one morning I woke up and I noticed I had a sore spot on my face. It was like a pimple, and I'm not prone to getting pimples. I usually don't. I've got pretty clear skin. But I could remember something going on up on the disc, but I couldn't quite remember what it was, a sort of an attack of some sort. Anyway, Kira rang me, or her mum, Helene, rang me to say that there'd actually been an attack on the disc by a negative group down here who had disabled the computers up on the disc. Now, these computers that are up on the mothership are used like a sort of a surveillance system and to more or less keep an eye on what's going on all of the planets that the Zetas are working on at the moment. And we were trying to work out why, what actually happened, why these computers had gone down. It took them quite a while to get them back up again. It was quite chaotic for quite a while. And anyway, 3 weeks, exactly 3 weeks to the day after this happening, was the 9/11 event. And what we understand is that the Zetas would have tried to intervene, but because the computers had gone down, there was nothing really that they could do about it. So of course, the 9/11 event happened. So anyway, the next morning after 9/11, I woke up feeling really, really off, very sort of sick and headachy. And Helene rang to say that her daughter Kira and I had both been over there helping out, working alongside the Zetas with people. And this went on for about 3 weeks, both of us going over there. People who couldn't be reached, for example, they were never left to die alone. If the rescuers couldn't get through, there would always be one of the Zetas or one of the angels. The angels are higher evolved forms, again, further up the what they call the human ladder in the universe. And so people who were dying and unable to be reached, they would always have one of these helpers with them so that they wouldn't be left to die alone, which I thought was a very beautiful thing. And the Zetas were actually helping people who could recover, so they were doing the healing, whereas it's the angel's job to lift people out of the body when it's time for them to pass over. They'll say something to the effect of, it's time for you to wake up, and they'll reach out for the person's hand and lift them up out of the body. And Kira could remember seeing this happening many, many times over. So the angels and the Zetas were working side by side. She said it was quite amazing in some cases. There'd be a Zeta trying to heal somebody and an angel would come in and say, no, you know, it's time for them to go, and push them aside, and the poor old Zeta would be there begging them, oh, look, just let this one live, you know, it'll give people a bit of hope. No, it's their time. So it was a very, very interesting learning curve for us. I have a quite clear recollection, actually, from one night of being over there. I was actually in Zeta form, moving along the street and almost stepping on a partly sort of, you know, like a decapitated body. You know, there was only the body. There was no arms or legs. It was pretty horrible. And I had a very clear memory of this when I woke up, which was a rather emotional thing. So that was what we were up against over there.
Do you also feel like that during this time in Japan, when this tragedy happened, that do you have any recall of the Zetas participating in that exercise?
Not a lot of clear recall. I can vaguely remember being over there giving healing to people from that instance. So, yes, they would have been there for sure. Wherever there's, you know, mass injury and death like that, it's the Zeta's job to come in to try and help people, to heal them, and it's the angel's job to collect those who can't be healed.
Can you tell us a little bit more about the status of the angels?
Yes. We've been taught what's what the Zetas call the human ladder. Now, I'll just talk about that a little bit, and that'll explain the angels. The human ladder is actually a term that the Zetas use for the path or cycle of evolution followed by all human-type species through the universe. Now, this human ladder is comprised of 10 what they call galactic levels, but they're not galaxies or physical places as such. They're rather ascending levels of expanding conscious awareness. Now, Earth humans are only on the first rung, so we're able to access approximately 10% of our potential conscious awareness. And I'm not talking about brain here, I'm talking about mind. It's mind awareness. And I emphasise the word conscious because this is the key to where we're evolving as humans. As we progress up through 10 levels, there's 10 levels on this human ladder, over the span of many lives, more and more of our DNA will be activated through this, which is another thing that's done when people are taken up on the discs, part of the abduction experience, to help us to consciously access and perceive these higher energy frequencies. So in other words, we'll be consciously aware of these higher frequencies, just as we're now aware of third dimensional reality in which we operate here. So we're on level one here. The Zetas are on level about 5 to 8, so they're able to access 50 to 80% conscious awareness. The ones we think of as angels are on levels 9 and 10, so they have a 90 to 100% conscious awareness. In other words, they're fully awakened to what could be called divine or conscious awareness, or divine consciousness. So that's where they are. They're very, very highly evolved beings, move way, way past physical form. If an angel wishes to appear down here to someone, they will actually tap into the person's mind to see how that person thinks of an angel, and they sort of borrow that and create a body for themselves so that the person can relate to who and what they're seeing.
So you're saying that they shape-shift their energy to look like the person that they need to see?
Yeah, or how the person would think of an angel. So I mean, most people, at least in our society, think of angels as being, you know, blonde-haired, blue-eyed, with the wings and dressed in white, so that is how the angel would appear to them, because that's the image the person holds of an angel in their mind, and so the angel creates that reality for them to see.
In our Starseed audience, we've had a lot of people go to England and see the crop circles. We have several friends that have gone over, and Dr. Meg, she took a group over last summer and had some extraordinary experiences. And what can you tell us what the reason of the crop circles are, and how are they created?
Yes, absolutely. They're transformative. I'll just explain how they're created first. They're actually created by what the Zetas called an energy stamp. I think these have actually been videoed flitting about the fields. It's like a little ball of light. And what the Zetas do, they take the pattern that is to go into the crop circle and actually, put it into this little energy ball, not almost, exactly like when we're making a tape recording. You know, we make a videotape or an audio tape. We actually record the music or the visuals or whatever onto the tape. And so they record the form of the crop circle into this little ball of light. It's like an intelligence. Yeah, it has an intelligence of its own, and that's how it's conveyed down into whatever field that they want to place the crop circle in. Now, what the crop circles are, they're actually transformative, and they're also a form of communication, and they're also educational. They're transformative in the fact that many of them are what are called universal symbols, a little bit like Reiki symbols, in that they impact upon our energy body. And also the energy body of the planet, because, of course, the planet is a living entity as well. So this is one of the things the crop circles do. Again, they're helping human evolution by raising our vibrational frequency, which is how universal symbols work. They're also a form of communication, because we have, for example, scientific projects like SETI, where they send signals out into space and they all complain that they never get any answers back. Well, the crop circles are a form of answer. Using the language of universal symbols to get their message across. And they're also educational in that many of them are designs of galaxies and planetary systems, star systems, etc. Just about everything that the Zetas do always has three reasons. They always tell us to look for three reasons in everything, not just to take the shallow outer form, but to always look deeper. And that's what they told us about the crop circles. So three reasons: transformative, communication, and education.
I noticed that in your book you talked about the times that other beings, the Pleiadians, Andromedans, and other species would come and interact with the Zetas. Can you give us some insight about how that works with other species?
Oh, yes, absolutely. They all work together. There's not the pecking order out there that there is down here. I know that there's a little bit of, I'm very aware of the fact that there's a little bit of racism that goes on with the Zetas because of the fact that they look so different. People tend to think, oh, you know, the tall, blonde, beautiful ones, they're the masters and the Zetas are just robots or slaves. Now, that's a very, very earthbound way of thinking. It doesn't operate like that at all in the greater reality. Each of the planetary species has their own very important role to play, and they all work in absolute unison so that when you're up on the disk, you can be communicating with Zetas or you could be communicating with Palladians or whoever. They all have their role to play. Everyone carries out their role. Everyone backs everybody else up. In many cases, the Pleiadians do take a form that looks rather like angels, so they're often mistaken for angels. Sometimes they're Pleiadians, sometimes they're angels. But they all work together with the Zetas, so, yeah. What the Zetas are aware of, they are aware that many people are afraid of them because they do look different, and so they will often use or approach one of the other planetary races that look more human to sort of act as a go-between. And I think this is probably the reason why back in the 1950s with a lot of those contact experiences back then, the ETs who were appearing were more human-looking. They were sort of just starting to open the door a little bit to the possibility that there are others out there. But in actual fact, as one of the Zetas said once, they said, you know, it's quite funny that humans think that we look so weird. So we look normal compared to some of the other species out there that are really, really different. So, you know, at least they're still humanoid. So, yep, they all work together.
I know that one of my first encounters back in the 70s was with a being who was like, oh, I guess he was about 14 feet tall and blue, and he had 300 teeth, and it was quite a shock for me. So, yes,
wow.
I can relate. What's it like being a Zeta, and how different is it from being on Earth as a human?
Okay, yes, it is different. It depends whether you're speaking physically or emotionally. Physically, it's very different in that as a Zeta, there's a lot more freedom and balance. Down here as a human, I find things feel clumsy and heavy, which is natural as the energy here is heavier and of a lower frequency, which makes it harder to operate the body. And this is partly why I do Tai Chi and Reiki. It's to keep my energies balanced and running at optimum efficiency. Human bodies aren't all that efficient, so I think the more help that they can get, the better. So that's why I do those things. Emotionally, we aren't all that different. In our Zeta bodies, we just don't have the musculature in our faces to enable us to physically express emotion. That doesn't mean we don't have emotion or that we're robots. I find that in my Zeta form, I actually feel emotions such as unconditional love and compassion more deeply because we operate on a higher vibrational frequency. Also because we feel certain aspects of our being, lower emotions such as envy, greed and anger are simply not experienced. To draw a comparison, the Zetas are rather like the Eastern adepts down here whose depth of spiritual training enables them to practice compassionate non-attachment. So it is very much about non-attachment to emotions. We're also able to see things from a wider and deeper perspective, so we're more able to see the bigger picture in any given situation. One of the main differences is we tend to think more in terms of oneness, so we're more amalgamated and homogenized as a group soul consciousness working for the good of all, whereas on Earth people are more segregated and divided, hence all the racial and religious tension that goes on between various groups. We're not a hive consciousness. We do have free will. We have individual thought, but we're just more homogenized and we think more for the good of the group. We also look at things more in terms of multi-dimensions and energy rather than just looking at the outer shallow layer of being the only reality. People here tend to be very caught up in appearance and third-dimensional physicality, but in the greater reality there's far more out there. For example, as I mentioned before, the physical part of the universe is very small and limited. There's much more to it than that little part that can be physically observed and measured. The other thing is the Zetas are often accused of not communicating, but up on the disco, communication is telepathic. And telepathic communication is very difficult with someone who's in a deep state of fear. A terrified human is just not on the right brain wavelength for effective communication. And I've actually experienced this personally up on the disc. I remember once trying to get through to someone. They had been taken into the clinic of someone we were working on a fairly regular basis, and it's a male, and he was lying on the table, and I went to step into the room to work on him. And he managed to turn around. I think he was partly paralysed for his own safety, but he strained his eyes around and saw me, and the look of absolute horror on his face, and it really made me feel quite ill. And I was trying to communicate with him, look, you know, we're not going to hurt you, you've been here, don't you remember me, and I'm not going to hurt you. But there was no way that I could penetrate this cocoon of fear that he was putting up around him. And I remember coming back feeling very frustrated about it. But it is hard for everyone involved.
When you're in your Zeta form, what is your position and what sort of work do you carry out?
Okay, well, I'm a teacher, so that's my primary job, teaching. I also do healing. Down here I teach and heal through my Tai Chi and Reiki, and I also carry out my teaching role through the books. If people want information, communication from the Zetas, then I suggest they do read these books because they're full of details and descriptions. The Zeta message deals with ET human contact more from the human perspective, whereas human by day, Zeta by night tells it from the ET perspective. So we have all bases covered. No holes barred. As you know, you've read the books yourself, Lavender, or particularly Human by Day, so you know there's a lot of description in there. That's taken from first-hand experience. Up on the disc, I do carry out procedures such as genetic work and some teaching as well. I do recall the man who was frightened when he looked at me. I remember the procedure we were actually carrying out on him afterwards. We were removing an implant from his head for his own protection. I believe this implant had been put in down here, and we were actually removing it to try to get him away from the control of the ones who put it in. It was a physical implant, so it must have been inserted down here. That was a very interesting experience. I do remember that quite clearly.
How old are you, really?
Okay. I guess you mean in Zeta form rather than human form. As Zetas, we don't think in terms of just one lifespan, because in the greater reality, we're fully aware that we're immortal soul essences that reincarnate many, many times in many different bodies. And this is really what evolution is about. It's an ongoing soul process of returning to source and oneness. A person's soul journey could be likened to a large tapestry made up of many different coloured threads. So to look at this in terms of having only one life is the equivalent of looking at a beautiful tapestry and seeing only a single thread. To answer your question, I've been around for at least 1 million years or so, but don't ask the details because my Earth human brain that I'm operating through couldn't possibly access that much information. When I'm operating fully through my more expanded Zeta consciousness, I do have more conscious awareness of this. I remember as a child even some past life memories started coming through, so I do have some past life memories, but not a great deal.
Where is your home as a Zeta?
Okay, it's carrying out the physical work down here. My home is on Earth. I actually operate through two bodies, one an Earth human body and the other a Zeta body. So when my physical Earth human body living here in Australia goes to sleep at night, my astral or spirit energy body steps out of it and goes up onto the disc to carry out Zeta work. Now, up there, I sometimes operate as simply a light body without physical form, which we all are, or else I place myself into a physical Zeta body, which, like my Earth body, is simply a vehicle through which I can operate. And while I'm working up on the disc, my biological human body is sleeping and so is not adversely affected. It still gets its required amount of rest to enable tissue and cell renewal to take place. And in the morning, I step back into it to wake up and get on with my day just like any other human down here.
Does your human family realize who you are? Have you been able to communicate with them about what's going on?
Not a great deal. I don't even have a lot of family, and I think this has sort of been planned right from the start. I'm married, and my husband has seen my form change on a couple of occasions. He says now he can't remember it happening, so maybe a block was put on him, I'd say. But he knows the work I'm doing, and he's fine with it, which is great. You know, that's really cool. His family aren't into any of this at all, so that's fine. I like it that way. When I'm with them, I'm just absolutely normal, perfectly normal human, and that's lovely. It gives me a break. As for my own family, both my parents passed away when I was fairly young. I have one brother and his family who live quite a distance away. So we basically only catch up at Christmas or once or twice during the year. He sort of knows about the books, but he's an easygoing sort of fellow who jokes that he's always known I'm a bit weird since I was a kid, so that's as far as it goes with him. As for children, I don't have any. I wasn't able to face that aspect of being an Earth human. To put it bluntly, I chickened out on that particular facet of Earth human existence. Part of the reason why I was brought into contact with my co-author, Helene, and her family has been to get this type of support. With them, it's been a very, very much a two-way exchange in that I helped them out with the fear aspect of the encounters they were going through in the early days, and they in turn have given me a huge amount of much-needed support on this mission. They understand completely who and what I am on all levels, and their unconditional love and acceptance is really what's got me through. Doing it all on my own would have been pretty well impossible.
Can you explain a little bit about the crash that happened and how Helen Kay, how the two of you got together through the crash scene?
Yes, I can't really expand on that very much. I don't have a great deal of memory of the actual crash itself. One memory I do have is of being in like an underground bunker type room and being questioned. I think there was torture involved, if I remember rightly. And the one thing I can remember about this room, I knew it was underground, I knew it had very, very thick walls, and it had yellow cracked plaster on the walls. And it's funny, I have always carried that memory through, and I can't get it out of my mind. That's about the only memory that I actually have of this. I was actually told about the crash by one of the Zeta teachers. Helene and I can remember working together on the disc, both in that life and now. It was quite funny because the first time that I spoke to her on the phone, when her family started having experiences, we were introduced by a mutual friend, actually our Reiki teacher. We'd never spoken to each other before that. But as soon as we spoke, I immediately recognised her energy signature through her voice. And I think she'd been having dreams of the crash, as I had. I'd had dreams of this fast-moving disc and unable to control it and the fear that was involved. And we both, funnily enough, have difficulty driving cars now. And I was actually amazed that Helene is exactly the same. She gets panic attacks behind the wheel. I'm a little bit better. I can drive, but I have a great deal of difficulty with it, and took me a long time to get into driving again. And I remember having an experience up on a disc. I think my teacher upstairs was trying to get me over the fear. And I can remember being put in control of what they call mini discs. They're these little tiny discs that carry about two or three people. And I was sitting in front with my hands on the controls, and the teacher was sitting behind me. And I remember I had to keep my mind totally focused on this sort of energy grid that the disc was running along. And because of my fear after the crash and my difficulty with driving, I was sort of having a bit of a panic attack. And every time my mind veered, the darn disc was veering off this track. And, it was the most terrifying experience. I was getting quite upset about it and insisting I had to pull over. And the teacher was saying, no, keep going. I want you to get past this fear. So that was quite an experience. Helene and I often do recall working together, or we also remember discussing things up on the disc. Sometimes she'll ring me the next day and start talking about something, and I'll say, I don't remember us talking about that. And she said, we were upstairs, or vice versa, I'll remind her of something. On one occasion, I actually remember waking with a clicking sound in my ear, and I'd actually been speaking to Helene, I realised, afterwards, and it was quite funny because I thought there was an insect in the pillow or something, and then I realised it was a continuation of a conversation I'd been having up on the disc with her. Another thing that was quite interesting was we had an astrology reading done a while back, and the person doing it was absolutely blown away by the similarity of our two charts. Even though we're 8 years apart in age and born on entirely different dates, this astrologer had never seen anything like it in any other reading. She knew nothing about either of us, but picked up that we'd belonged to a different group, shared many past lives of working together as a twin soul, and we'd come here to Earth in this life to carry on with our work. So she just couldn't get over. She ended up sort of putting our two charts together, overlaying them, and they were just about identical. So that was quite interesting.
Well, yes, you know, when I did your chart a couple of days ago and I looked at your star markings, I should have asked you for her information. I would love to see her chart information. If she's comfortable sending it to me, or if you could send it to me, I would love to do a chart comparison with the star markings, which has a whole different flavor about the way I track.
Yes, yes. Look, she'd love to do that, Lavender. We can scan it through for you so you can have a look.
Okay, good. So, as a Zeta, can you give us your perspective on 2012?
Yes, absolutely. Planet Earth is in the process of stepping up or evolving to a higher vibrational frequency. Now, this is a gradual change that's been going on for many years and will continue for some time yet. This process is accelerated at various points along the way by certain astrological alignments which act like keys or catalysts to initiate further energy boosts. And the most major one of these is due to occur on December the 21st, 2012. It will be a little bit like the Renaissance period in Europe. That was another major one back then. I've actually compared the two. Humanity also needs to evolve to a higher frequency level in order to remain in harmony with the planet. So people down here are going through quite a lot of changes and upheavals as a result of this. And some are making a change easily, some are not. So we're here along with others from various planetary systems to assist the process by helping to balance and harmonize the energies of both planet and people. The planet's actually stepping from level one up to level two on the human ladder. Evolution in the human kingdom is all about making a free will choice between love and fear. To put it in quite fundamentalist Christian terms, love is the God element and fear is the Satan element within mankind. So this is the choice to be made, love or fear. And fear is expressed through such things as divisiveness, religious intolerance, racism, all the lower emotions such as jealousy, hatred, ego, etc. Love is expressed through oneness, unity, acceptance, non-judgment, tolerance, respect towards others, empathy and compassion. So if people down here wish to evolve along with their planet, then they must choose love. And this in turn is the key to opening the mind to a more expanded and deeper state of conscious awareness, which is what evolution is all about for humans.
I totally, totally agree. At this time, we've been on about an hour, and our second hour is for people to call in or the chat room has questions. So now I'm going to turn this back over to Ariel, and then she'll probably bring in Sierra. It's been my pleasure talking to you, and I'll talk to you again a little later. Back to you, Ariel.
Okay. Well, I would like to bring Sierra on the air. Sierra, I know you're there listening, and I'm going to turn it over to you now. Sierra, is
oh
you're
my
still,
goodness!
Okay.
Hello, hello,
hello, Sierra.
How are you? It's just so great to speak with you.
Oh, it's lovely speaking with all of you too.
I've been sitting back and been taking quite a an interesting. Well, I myself have had contact with Zetas and carried a hybrid child for a while and tried to hang on to the hybrid child and have experienced the other contact from the other guys that try to make it really hard on
yes.
people like myself who have genuine contact. And from being in the military for 8 years and fighting with implants, they kept trying to bring me back to the military and stuff like that, so I find you and your experiences very refreshing, and I just am reeling a little bit. It's something, some things that you're saying are triggering memories in me that I didn't know that I had of the good experiences that I've had.
Right.
And it's very, it's quite emotional, actually. So.
Yes.
I
can understand that, Sierra. After my interviews, I've done a number of interviews, and the feedback I've got has been 99% people emailing to say thank you, thank you, thank you so much, the gratitude that people feel and the way it stirs up the memory of positive experiences and gives them courage to keep going. Like, even if they are having fearful experiences, it sets off their own self-empowerment, which helps them to move through that aspect.
So true. And I remember, I'm just starting to have a lot more memory, which is interesting because I, too, am working on getting my story down on paper and so that I can tour around and speak with people and help them through just exactly the same thing, all the negative stuff that comes with abduction or contact, as I like to call it. And Ariel, I'm going to have to take a step back. I can barely speak. There's just a lot of amazing things happening for me, and I just want to say thank you for coming on and sharing your story, and maybe there's some time that we could speak on the side some other time about this into detail.
I'd love to, Sierra. I'd love to speak more with you.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Back to you, Ariel.
Okay, thank you. Well, Judy, I have a question that's a little point of confusion, and I think you would be the perfect person to clear it up, because I have read so much conflicting information, and there people refer to tall grays and short grays. And what is the difference?
Okay, the tall greys are a little bit further along the evolutionary path. If you probably remember, Ariel, I was speaking about the human ladder before, that the zetas are from levels 5 through to 8. So the level 5s are the small greys, and up to level 8 they get taller and taller, so 5, 6, 7, 8, and 8s are the tallest ones, the very tall teachers that can be up to about 14 foot high. They're quite tall. It's a very difficult thing to explain. What the teachers do, the small greys are a little bit more sort of robotic, in that the teachers actually download part of their consciousness into these smaller beings, and so they sort of, they're extensions of the teacher. And I've actually had this happen with me. I've gone through a number of downloads through my life where the Zeta teacher who works with me has downloaded part of his consciousness into my body. So it's like I'm sort of an extension of him, but I'm still me, and I still have my own individuality. So it's like I'm one of the small workers, but working not through a small Zeta body down here. I'm working through a human body. Up on the disc, I work through a small body, or not real small, because I'm about level 7. But he actually extends his consciousness through me. Does that sort of make
kind
sense?
Of like, kind of like a walk-in merging,
sort of, yes.
Or blending? Uh-huh.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Well, I'm going to... give a heads up to Sahar, because we will be coming to the chat room for questions from there in a few minutes. We do have a caller that has a question for you. So we are now going to bring Ralph on the air as soon as I get this button to work. Okay, Ralph, welcome. You are on the air.
Hi. Thank you very much. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes, Ralph, I can hear you.
This is a wonderful show, and I'm happy to hear the positive things that you're saying that the grays are doing. I have not had much positive information about the grays at all, and I guess maybe that's part of the disinformation program that's been run here. It's good to hear. The question I have, though, how many terrestrial people walking around are part of your project, if you will, on Earth now, working in the positive. Can you give me a kind of estimate?
Look, it's pretty hard to say, Ralph. I know that there's about 3,000 of us down here. I actually work with a smaller family group, which I've linked up with. There's about 12, 13 of us who sort of work together. I haven't made links with all of them, but I think some, like it includes the teachers upstairs. So I'm actually working with a small group. But as far as I understand, there are a number of these. We sort of refer to them as families. I talk about the grey family jokingly. And it is. It's a very family feeling when you link with one of these people. It's quite an amazing experience. I have linked with a number of them. Of course, Helene is one, my co-author, and I've linked up with a number of others, and the feeling is just amazing. You just feel complete, total rapport with this person. So as far as I understand, there are a number of Zeta groups like that down here working together, because why we come in groups is we do need to support each other. It's a difficult planet down here to work on. The energies are very heavy and difficult, and we really do need the support of each other. It would be very, very hard to do it on your own.
Well, thank you very much. I appreciate you for what you're doing. Thank you.
Thank you, Ralph.
Thanks, Ralph. Thanks for calling. Okay. Well, we are going to check in with the chat room now. And Sahar, welcome. You're on the air. How are things in the chat room?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. Great. Great. Do you have questions from our chat room listeners?
I have many questions. And
okay.
There's many. Okay. I'm going to start off with about the quarantine. Has it been lifted? And if it hasn't been, when should it happen? And another part to that.
Okay. I'm not really familiar with this. I assume it's a quarantine that other ETs can't approach the planet. I have heard it, but I'm not really familiar with what that's about.
Okay. Another question I had that one of the members of the chat room had was, aren't the Greys in with the technology exchange and experiments? And are they about done now?
Okay, what's happened there, a lot of that technology was actually taken without the Grey's permission. It was back engineered from crash disks, first for good, but then it fell into more negative hands. So that's how a lot of the technology came to be down here. As I mentioned before, Colonel Philip Corso, who I have a great admiration for, was one of the people involved with the research and development military team that actually back-engineered the crash disk at Roswell. And that technology was meant to be of positive help for humans, but unfortunately, after it left his hands and was sort of distributed throughout the community, it did fall into negative hands. And so a lot of the technology that's being used to cause fear against the Zetas down here has actually been taken from their own technology.
Okay. Another question. What are the Zetas saying about safe spots? From the disasters, and do they believe that we have been bypassed from the danger now?
Well, the disasters that are happening, a lot of this that's coming on is basically balancing karma. They can divert some of them, but of course, if there's karma involved, they can't. Their hands are tied.
Okay. What about the Zeta use of heart chakra and energy for expanded consciousness?
Yes, well, they're part of our evolution is to assist. Well, the way they're helping us with our evolution is to assist in the raising of the vibrational frequency of our chakras and our energy system. And, of course, this is what I was talking about before with the Zeta teachers who would dress in black, directing particular colours of the spectrum towards the person they're working with. So, for example, if they're working with a person's heart chakra, they'll direct the colour green or they'll direct the colour blue or whatever. So, they're basically trying to help us to clear our energy system and help us to vibrate on a higher frequency.
Wonderful. That would make a lot of sense.
Yeah, and as I mentioned before, that's what a lot of the implants are aimed at as well.
Oh, that was a question that I had, and you answered that. Thank you. I have... It's not a loaded question. It's not tongue-in-cheek, but it's serious. Why do we hear about the Zetas doing sexual-type experiments on people, and how do they feel about our sexual involvement? I think you might have already answered the first part, but I know they want to hear more
yep.
about that.
Yes. Look, any contact experience where there's that sort of thing going on would be coming from down here. The Zetas are carrying out genetic work, but it's always done in a very respectful way. The other thing, in genuine contact with the Zetas, if a person asks them to stop, they will. Whereas when it's interference from down here, they take no notice of human free will whatsoever. Another indication that it's coming from down here is if there is any sort of black magic type, demonic type thing going on. I have heard of this happening, and that's
okay.
coming from down here as well.
Okay. Do Zetas follow the Hermetic laws or the Law of One?
Sorry, what was that again?
Do the Zetas, do they follow the Hermetic laws or the Law of One?
I'm not familiar with either of those terms.
Okay. It's like as above, so below, and to do with Thoth and the Hermetic laws?
Yes, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I just thought that's what the question was, whether or not they had followed those laws. If those were universal laws or...
Yes. Yes, they certainly follow universal law. I'm more familiar with that term, the Hermetic. I'm not familiar with that term. I don't know what it involves, but yes, they follow. As far as I can remember, there's 22 universal laws that they follow. They're sort of like the commandments of Christianity, but much more far-reaching. It's about respecting free will and preserving life, et cetera, et cetera.
Okay. I have one question as far as with... They obviously, what I'm thinking is, do they sit in as members of the council, of
yes.
light? Okay.
Yes.
That's the question I had. So in other words, they would have to follow a universal law. They would have
yes,
to.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And one last question that I had, that when the chat room guest had, is do you know of anything about the bird tribes of Ceres? Maybe I'm not pronouncing it right. Ceres from the asteroid.
No, I don't. I'm sorry. No.
Okay. Thank you very much, Judy. I have not been able to listen to much of this. I'm definitely going to listen to the show when we get done with this. This has triggered, like Sierra said, it's triggered some things in me as well. So thank
All right.
you so
Good.
Much.
Okay, well, thank you, Sahar, and I know that that's the disadvantage of being the chat room host is that you're so busy helping in the chat room that you don't get to hear a lot of the show, so you will enjoy it when you listen to it later. And we will try to come back to the chat room one more time before the end of the show, so if anyone else has any further questions, just forward them to Sahar, and I will try to come back and pick them up.
Thank
okay.
you, Eric.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
So, Judy, you said something that I think when you say that it's happening from down here. Are you saying that there are like humans imitating Zetas?
Yes.
And having no, I mean, would it be like, you know, military or, you know, secret
yes.
you know, mind control
yeah.
or whatever they're doing?
Yeah. Some people refer to it as a cabal or a shadow group. That's basically what it is. I talk about them as the controllers in my book. And I believe that they've actually even bioengineered some life forms to resemble Zetas, taken from the crash site, you know, like the bodies of genuine ETs have been genetically used to create these other sort of life form things that are under the control of this group. So, of course, they are causing quite a lot of fear. I believe they've taken them along where these cattle mutilations and people say, oh, I saw greys there, it would be these ones that this group have created. They also use a lot of holographic imagery. And as far as I understand, what they do, they just select people at random, generally people who are undergoing genuine encounters, and interfere with their genuine encounters. And I think they even probably practice some sort of mind control to twist their memories a little bit to make them think that the encounters are negative.
So they have this cabal that are imitating Zetas and causing a whole lot of confusion and fear, and they have enough technology that's been back engineered so that it's really difficult to tell from our human perspective, especially wrapped in fear.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah.
What happens, they tend to drug people, so the person's sort of half drugged, so the poor person is just completely confused, half out of their mind, and they take advantage of them in that way. The author Stephen Greer has spoken quite a lot about it. He wrote a book quite some time back, Hidden Truth, Forbidden Knowledge, where he goes into great detail about all this, and other authors, I believe, have as well.
Wow. Clearing. Very clearing information, because there has been so much disinformation and violations, I guess, on their parts that the Zetas are being blamed for, because people can't tell the difference. They look just like you would expect a Zeta to look.
That's right. Yes.
Yeah. And tell me about when you say Zeta family. Are there actually family units in the Zeta culture? Are there, do they have children and or not?
Yes, absolutely. They're actually very, very family oriented, in a way more than down here. Family means everything to them. It's almost it's funny, whenever I'm writing about the Zetas and I use the word family, I'm always sort of drawn to putting it with a capital F, because it's really very important to them. Helene's daughter Kira was actually taken by her Zeta teacher Auris to visit a family on one of the planets that they had inhabited, and there were three children in this family and the parents. And she said it was just amazing. They were playing a meditation-type music on these little disc things that were square. They weren't round, they were square. And apparently this particular planet, there were five countries, Kira described, that Auris had told her. There were five countries, and two of them were totally urbanized and three were left to the natural wildlife. And in the natural sort of ones that had been left for the wildlife, there were some families living, but they were always very respectful of the animals living there and had to build their houses out of natural materials, etc. And it was one of these houses that she went to visit. And she was talking about there were different sort of animal forms around, something that rather resembled a monkey. I have a vague memory of going to one of these places and seeing this animal that had a sort of so many years ago, I can hardly remember. I think it had like a hump thing up down the end of its back, sort of where the tail, you know, like above the tail. I think it was a sort of a cow-like animal. I can't really remember now. But yes, there's some interesting life forms there as well.
Mm-hmm. Well, what would your advice be if someone were having an encounter with a being that appeared to be a Zeta? Now, you said if it's a genuine Zeta and you ask them to stop, they will stop.
Yeah.
And if they don't stop, and it's like, okay, they're not stopping, and now I know that they are the pretenders, is there any way that you could appeal to the real Zeta to come in and intervene at this whatever transgression of free will would be?
Yeah, free will.
What do you do?
Yeah, well, what I do, I know everyone can't do this, but I use my Reiki. It's actually happened to me a couple of times. I teach Reiki, and at level two we learn certain symbols that are protective symbols, and I've actually done this on a couple of occasions. I've actually used the symbols to get rid of them. I remember on one occasion when it happened, my Zeta teacher did actually step in and get rid of the being. So if you can just try to establish your contact with the genuine ones, you know, call them in and try and get in contact with them. But what the whole key is to try and overcome the fear. Know that you have God within you, and I think this mind frame is your biggest protection. The Zeta teachers go on and on about this to us, to always be aware of the fact that we're not just little helpless humans, we're immortal spiritual beings that carry the essence of God within our being, and so therefore we are all powerful. And as he said, it's understanding that and understanding the fact that love can conquer all. So another good way of doing it is to project love towards the entity, and they tend to back off when you do that because they don't want that. They want fear. They feed off fear. So if you can, I know it's a very big ask of people, but that's the way to overcome them, to just try to stay calm. Remember, I've got God within me. If you need to, if you're a religious person, you can call on God. There's no problem with that. I'll call on Jesus, whoever, you know, or Buddha or whoever you follow, just to, you know, to prop up your own sense of self-empowerment. There's no reason why you can't do that.
And just
project that love towards them. And they generally do back off when you do that.
Well, that makes perfect sense. I'm reminded of an episode of Star Trek, because I'm a huge Star Trek fan, the original Star Trek, when there was an entity that fed on fear, and the only thing that saved them was laughter and goodwill.
Laughter is a wonderful weapon. I remember, I can recall this happening to me many years ago before I'd learned Reiki. I was attacked by something negative in my travels, and my Zeta teacher actually stepped in and into my body and made me kick it, give it a good kick up the butt. And the imagery I was showing was this being sort of rolling over and landing in a flower bed. And then the next thing, my teacher was standing beside me, absolutely killing himself laughing, and got me laughing as well, which just completely dissipated this entity. So, yes, laughter. Laughter is very, very good.
So the Zetas have a sense of humor.
Oh, tremendous sense of humor. Absolutely wonderful. One of them actually told me a joke. Hmm?
Do you have a Zeta joke for this?
Yes, I do.
We got to hear it now.
Would you like me to tell it?
Yes.
Well, the story behind it was, we used to have a small encounter group. Helene and I used to run a small encounter group from my home here. And they used to put questions in this group. They used to put questions to my teacher, Maris, my Zeta teacher, Maris. And then after the group, I'd go and sit down in front of the computer and he'd come in with me and we'd work through it together and answer these questions. Anyway, on this particular occasion, I was on the computer typing up answers put to Maris by a member of this group. And one question was very, very heavy on interplanetary warfare or some such thing. And I thought to myself, oh, wow, this one's a bit of a worry. Anyway, quick as a flash, a telepathic response from Maris came back at me. do you want to know what a real worry is? And his answer, being abducted on board an ET disc and finding a copy of An Idiot's Guide to the Universe open on the control console. That's beta humor. It was quite a while before I could get back to working on the computer. I was laughing so much and I kept saying it over and over to myself so I wouldn't forget it.
That's priceless.
And it was quite funny because they don't like the word abducted and they don't like the word alien. When we first connected with one of the teachers, we said, look, what do you want us to call you? Do you want us to call you, you know, ETs or Greys or Zetas or aliens or what? And he said, look, we don't mind what you call us as long as you don't call us aliens. We don't like that word, family. That's what we really like you to call us, family. So anyway, when he told me this joke, he actually said, being abducted on board an ET disc, or an alien disc, sorry, being abducted on board an alien disc. And I questioned him about it afterwards, and I said, well, you know, you don't like using those words. And he said, oh, we've got to lighten up sometime.
Well, that's priceless. Well, how about if we go back, we're going to go back to the chat room here and see if we have any other questions. And anyone that is on the switchboard, we do have a lot of callers this evening. If you have a question for Judy, you have to press 1 on your telephone so that we know that you would like to be brought onto the air. So we're going to go to the chat room now. And hello, Sahar. Do we have any further questions from our chat room listeners?
We do. I'm formulating them. I have some already, though.
Okay, great.
First question, if Zetas are master healers, is it possible to ask for aid and healing? And I'm going to add another question to that as well because it has to do with healing as well. Can
sure.
you elaborate more on Zeta's interest in Reiki energy?
Yes, absolutely, yes. What we need to do is ask. We were given a lot of instruction on Reiki by our Zeta teacher. Both Helene and I are traditional Yeshui Reiki teachers in that the Yeshui method is a traditional Reiki method that was developed in Japan by a man by the name of Dr. Makaya Yeshui. And so what we learned was good traditional Reiki. So what our Zeta teacher did, he came in and went through the whole course with us and just made some very minor changes, nothing major, to get us able to channel even stronger Reiki. He showed us a special way of holding our hands, and he showed us also a wonderful 13-step aura cleanse that we're actually going to put up on YouTube in a couple of weeks' time. So if people want to keep their eyes out for that, it'll be put up as aura cleanse taught by the Zetas. So whenever we do a Reiki healing or attunement, like when we're teaching people, our instruction is always to call the Zetas in. They say, we like to be asked. We need to be asked because we need permission to come in. We can't just push our way in. And so my advice to someone wanting healing from them is put the message out there. Please come in and help me. I need some help with this. And as I say, we've been given more instruction on Reiki, which is very, very interesting. And it actually provided very good independent confirmation for us because at that stage I was teaching Reiki but Helene wasn't, and there was an instruction that was given on finishing off the attunement process that was pure Qigong, which I also teach, and Helene and Kira, neither of them know anything about Qigong. And so they just conveyed this information from auras to me, which they knew nothing about. They couldn't understand why it was being said. But as soon as they told me, I understood because of the fact that I teach Qigong. So this provided wonderful independent confirmation that what he was saying was right and that, yes, the Zetas do indeed know a huge amount about energy, which was very interesting.
One chat room guest had asked, you spoke of those instructions on the Reiki hand placements. Is this on your own YouTube channel?
Yes, we'll be putting it up in a couple of weeks' time. It's not
okay,
there yet.
Will it be on your website that they can access it through that?
Yes, yes.
Okay, super, super.
Yeah.
Another question is, do the Zetas have to get permission for projects from the Galactic Federation, or what
yes.
is their relationship with them?
Yes, well, they are part of the Galactic Federation, or Star Nations is another term I like to use. Yes, they're a very important member of Star Nations because of the work that they're carrying out down here. So they have the full support of the Star Nations behind them. And yes, of course, anyone doing anything like this has to get permission to be able to do it.
Okay. I have one question here. Do you know of Maleha? I think that's how you say her name. It's M-E-L-I-A-H of the Orion Council of Light.
No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't know that name at all.
Okay. And just if how familiar you were with the Pleiadian Alliance?
I think it's part of the Star Nations, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Yes, again, I haven't had a lot of contact with other groups. I know a lot of people have had quite significant contact with the Pleiadians. I haven't. My contact's always been with the Zetas, but I am aware that we do work together.
Okay. That's all that I have. Thank you so much, Judy.
Good.
Okay, thank you, Sahar. I had a question, Judy. You said that there are about 3,000 Zetas actually on the planet doing various services and work. How many are there altogether? I mean, are
millions.
Is this millions? And
yeah, millions. There could actually be more than 3,000 down here. I can't really give a figure. That's just sort of off the top of my head. I do know of 3,000. I've been told that there are 3,000 down here. And some of them we're actually trying to reach. They're not conscious that they are Zetas. So there's
mm-hmm.
probably many more.
Okay, but that's just the Earth contingent. But as a civilization, they're millions. And they're not all here. They're, as you said, there's other planets that they're working with, and so they
oh, absolutely.
They're just all over, you know, in this neck of the woods or in other dimensions and or all of the above.
Oh, look, right through, because see, they are caretakers of energy through the universe. They're caretakers of universal energy, so they can basically access all levels. We can go down to levels, but we can't go up. We would have to have permission to go up. And that, I mean, that's not just Zetas. That goes for anyone in the universe. We can never go up to another level to annoy somebody on a higher level. But the Zetas are from level 5 to 8. So, for example, the teachers up at level 8 can come right down through all the levels. And it's like they have special dispensation to do it too because of the fact that they are workers. One of the things they're known as is workers of the angels. It's like they're sort of almost angelic assistants in a way because of the fact that they do work with universal life force energy.
I have a question for you, Judy. This is Lavendar. You talked about the guardians in your book. They're a special group, and where are they from, and what are the messages that they want to pass on to us?
Okay, well, the Guardians is a name that I prefer to use for Grey, Zetas, whatever, because the term Zeta, it's fine, you know, we can use that, but it does sort of almost limit them to a particular star system, and they're not limited. Some have come through the Zeta star system, but others have come through other systems. Grey's sort of puts a little bit of a negative connotation on them. So I tend to, when I'm thinking in my own way, I refer to them as guardians. And the things that we've learned from them, again, it's always in threes. They've taught us about oneness, that we're all created in God's image, which means that we all share the same universal consciousness. That's what that term actually means. It's this God energy flows through all of us. Second thing, they're trying to wake people up to the fact that we're all immortal souls and we have all the empowerment we need within to move past fear, to find our inner God center. And the third thing that they have really pushed with us is to perceive things more deeply, to understand that our third dimensional reality is very limited and the universe is multidimensional and far more than just physical planets and stars. So that's the main points that they always push very strongly with us.
Okay, thank you. How are we doing on time, Ariel?
Well, we're doing pretty good. We've got about 25 minutes to go, and so that's we're going to have some a special Christmas surprises. And but we still can have more questions if anyone on the switchboard would like to talk to Judy. You have to press 1 so that we know that's what you would like. We have a lot of people listening on the switchboard, but apparently you've answered so many questions so well that I can't think of any more to ask you.
This is Sierra. I'd actually like to jump in now that I've kind of recovered a little bit here.
Okay.
Good.
I've got a question about, I constantly wonder about my hybrid child. I'm not really clear as to whether or not maybe this is something you can kind of get me helped out, you know, help me out with a little bit, but if it was the government messing with the hybrid child or if it was an experience with the Grays themselves, because it seemed like it started out like it was something with the Grays themselves, and then the military kind of came in on the shoestrings trying to mess around and stuff. Regardless, I know that I have at least one hybrid, if not a couple hybrid children out there.
Right.
My question is, if I want contact with these beings,
yeah,
is that something that is encouraged or not by the Zetas?
Yes, it is encouraged very much because they want these children to be able to relate to both, you know, humans and Zetas, and be aware of the fact that they are out of the two races, and to feel culturally comfortable with both races. So, yes, they definitely encourage it. this is the reason why many mothers of hybrids are taken up onto the disc. Has this ever happened with you, Sierra?
Yes, I go up on ship a lot, and I do a lot of work that I'd say probably about 50% of it I remember. When you were talking about going across when there's big disasters and things like that. Ever since I was a young child, I was in the middle of that type of thing across the world. Even before people knew about what was happening, I was there out of physical form helping people. So,
yeah. Yeah. Look, what would be an idea if you can possibly do it the next time you are up on the disc, if you can sort of control your mind enough to do this, just ask them. Ask them about the child.
Okay.
Because what's happening, a lot of people have seen these hybrids up on the discs that look very pale and sickly, and they're actually hybrids, as far as I understand, that have been taken from down here because of this program that the negative ones down here are carrying out. And the Zetas do, when they can, they remove these children. And because they have a lot of Earth-human genetics in them, they need, you know, human touch to sort of keep them healthy, and that's why the Zetas actually spend quite a lot of time matching up DNA to try and get the children's mothers up there to help them.
Yes, I felt quite envious of a lot of the different people I've come across, women I've come across in the past that, you know, had these children and then were brought back up on ship to be with them.
Yes.
And from my recollection, I'm just not sure that I have had that opportunity yet, and I sure would like it.
Yeah. Well, maybe in the future you will. You know, there'd be certainly no harm in asking. Just put it out there.
Absolutely. Well, thank you. I think that's about it for now. I think that was just the thing that bubbled to the surface, you know, the first, the quickest is the, you know, the hybrid child and wanting to have contact and such. Thank you. I appreciate that.
Good.
Well, that makes me wonder now, are you saying, Judy, that if the I'm gonna call them the pretenders, the negative, the ones that are masquerading as small grays. If they somehow artificially inseminate, they're the one that brings this hybrid child into a person's body or impregnates them. Are you saying that the Zetas would step in and take that baby away from them to take it for protection?
Yes. When they can, they do. They can't always do it. There's many, many factors involved. But when they can, they do. Yeah. And as I say, they try and match the DNA up to get the correct mother, so they can be brought up on board.
So they're kind of doing some damage control.
Yes.
Especially, when people who have been, whose free wills have been violated. And then you have innocent children that need help. So, well, that's good to know.
Yeah.
It's very interesting. This is Sierra. Things just keep bubbling to the surface about this because I did not know when I was pregnant initially that I was pregnant. And it wasn't until I woke up and there was a gray in my room and I had the hair standing on the back of my neck and it was sort of like, I've had experiences and this isn't quite right. And it's as if I knew something was wrong, and I believe that's when the military people were stepping in trying to go behind the real Zetas.
Then there was
a period of time there that I actually said, at first I didn't understand what was happening. I had no idea really what to... in my conscious mind. And so I went to a friend of mine and I shared my experience, and she told me the whole thing. I was just gray in the face, about, what the whole agenda was about the grays and the this and the that. But it was the negative spin. It was the disinformation that was down here, which was what she was telling me.
And
nothing seemed right. And I said, well, what are we going to do? Because I was a part of the psychic community. And they said, well, we'll put protection around you and you have to break the contract that, blah, 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 blah. And they said, what do you want? I said, I want to have this baby. I want to carry this baby to full term. I don't want the baby to be taken away. And so we succeeded for several months, which is unusual, I think, in these cases. I think I carried this child to a minimum of 4 months or 5 months.
Right.
Probably 5 months, because from the time that I realized what was happening to the time that the baby was just gone, just disappeared, was 4.5-5 months itself. So I wonder at that time if that were the case, and I was saying I don't want them to take my child if the actual Zetas were trying to do something at that point to keep them away. And I really don't know how it all worked out in the end yet, because all I know is the baby was gone.
Yeah.
And I don't know where it is.
So
it's kind of a unique situation. And then I caused such a stir in my military unit that the Men in Black showed up one day and took me to NORAD, because I was living in Colorado Springs at the time. Showed me aircraft, showed me beaming technology, this cute little geek just buzzing around all excited that he could show somebody, a civilian, a Pepsi can being beamed from one side of the room to the other, and this was 1992 or 3, I believe. And then showed me a dead tall gray, a 6-foot gray.
Right. Yeah.
And I energetically reached into the body. There was no life. And then I don't know what made me feel like my life was in danger at that point. But it took them showing me all those things and then feeling that dead corpus there just being empty scared me to death.
Yeah.
And so they threatened me, and then there was hours of lost time, and I've accessed some, later on I had a walk-in experience where I was working with an entity that was helping to heal the negative impacts of this experience, and there are some things we didn't need to get into, but I know for sure that there was torture and brainwashing and threats, and I remember the threat itself. Leave this alone and back off, and of which I kind of went underground for about 10 years, but it's just interesting. It's just, being
talking to you and energetically being connected to you is opening new memories, which is interesting. That's interesting.
Right. Yeah.
So, thank you. I just wanted to kind of talk that out as I was speaking
yeah.
to you, see if you had any feedback, anything that you could sense, or if anybody, if your guide or anybody has anything to say about that. Your teacher, not guide, I apologize, your teacher.
Well, you know, I think it would be good if Sierra and you, Judy, could speak privately about some more
yes.
more things that you might be able to shed light on with Sierra's
yes, absolutely.
Particular experience.
Yeah,
so that
I'd
would
be
great.
Happy to do that. Yeah.
Okay. Well, we are coming closer to the end of the show. And Judy, I want to thank you so much. I mean, I know that it's early in the morning for you.
Oh no, it's actually midday, almost midday.
Oh, you're that far? Okay.
Yes, we started at 10 o'clock in the morning, and it's now 11:45.
Okay. All right. Well, that's amazing. I'm so grateful that we can connect live with you from Australia, and we do.
Lucky.
We would love to have you come back, and especially, you know, when you get this video up on YouTube, I think people would just love to talk to you about that after they watch it. And we do highly recommend that if you go to Judy's website, which is ufograyinfo.com, and gray is spelled with an E. And you can look at other of her works and read more details about the stories, and do pick up her books for a deeper understanding of this often misunderstood situation. And now that you've shed some light on that, I really, really do appreciate it. Once again, that website is ufograyinfo.com, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And we also
Great.
Have a Facebook page they can get into through my co-author, Helene Kaye. That's HelenKaye.
Okay, and the American translation of that would be Kaye on Facebook. Okay. Well, Judy,
I think the
so
title,
much.
The Zeta message will get them in as well.
Okay, great. Well, Judy, I invite you to stay on the line with us for a little Christmas celebration. And as I said at the top of the show, tomorrow begins the solstice. Actually, it is in America, it is about a quarter to one, not 24 hours from now.
Uh-huh.
It's actually very, very, very just shortly after midnight on the 22nd. So do your little solstice ceremonies wherever you are, and honor the changing of the seasons. And now we have a special little Christmas treat. Lavendar has come across something that she thought was really enjoyable, kind of funny, and she recorded it for everyone to play. A little Christmas greeting, and then after that, I have a song that I recorded for a Christmas gift for our Starseed audience. And after these two things, it'll just be about 5 minutes. We'll come back and wrap up the show.
Wait a minute. I have something I want to say.
Okay.
Thank you, Judy, so much. But on January the 10th, I'm announcing that Kathleen McGowan is going to be our guest. Because she's one of our Starseed people that have come forward, and I just wanted to announce for everybody to put on their calendar right now, Kathleen McGowan, who wrote The Expected One, the information about Jesus and Mary Magdalene. So that's very exciting that she has come into our fold, and I just wanted to announce that, okay?
That's January 10th. We will have Kathleen McGowan. So, In the meantime, here is a little Christmas presentation from Lavendar.
So So Merry Christmas, everyone, from Lavendar, Ariel, Sierra, Purple Sage, and Belva. And I would like to read something that our friend Ann Eller sent to us from the MUFON organization there in Phoenix, in Arizona. I read this and I thought, oh, I just think I want to share this with our radio audience. 'Twas the night before solstice, and across our great planet, disclosure gained ground, still some want to ban it. But researchers are hardy, and they want an answer to puzzles like abductions, men in black, and cancer. We all want to know how mankind took hold. Was it apes, evolution, or Anaki and gold? We need to hear truth about saucers and grays. But let's now return to elves, reindeer, and sleighs. On Comet, on Cupid, on Bigfoot and wormholes. Should we believe the ETs want to suck out our souls? On J-Rod, on Dulce, and Quetzalcoatl. There's so much to ponder. Let's get on the throttle. We won't get these subjects out of our mind. They consume us, entice us, and remain undefined. We've studied Roswell, Nephilim, swamp gas, and Orion. We get nowhere with government, so what are they hiding? Don't they know our intelligence, our ability to cope? We're resilient species, just throw us a rope. So continue we will with investigations and grit. We'll puzzle this through till we find the right fit. So spring to your sleigh, to your team give a whistle, and away all you'll fly like a tomahawk missile to conquer the questions the ancient aliens call. So dash away, dash away, dash away all. I just love that. I really, we love our friend Ann Eller from Sedona, Arizona, and I really wanted to pass this on to everyone. So back to you, Ariel.
Now that was pretty clever. Okay. I have a Christmas song that I recorded. It is my favorite one, and it's called Mary, Did You Know? And of course, the sound quality for music on Blog Talk isn't the best in the world, so just bear with us.
The dead will hear, the dead will live again. your baby boy will one day rule the nation. Did you know that your baby boy is heaven's perfect cloud? And this sleeping child you're holding,
I just love that song. And for everyone that's listening, if you go to starseedhotline.com/holiday gift, there is a whole CD that I recorded, some of my favorite Christmas songs. And you can download them and enjoy them as you wish. And Merry Christmas to you. So we just have a few minutes left here. Once again, Judy, I want to thank you for joining us live from Australia. That's so amazing. And Lavendar, Sierra, Tammy, Sahar, I'm going to open up everybody's mic so we can all we've got Belva's online too, and Tammy and Sierra. And let's see, we're opening up everybody's microphone here for one giant Merry Christmas, everybody. So everybody together, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas, everyone. And a healthy New Year.
Hotline. And a happy New Year. Okay, well, one last time, Judy Carroll, author of The Zeta Message and Human by Day, Zeta by Night. Her website is ufograyinfo.com. Thank you so much, Judy, for sharing your time with us and your wisdom. And we're going to say goodnight now for everybody here. Thank you so much.
Good night, everyone. Thank you. Thank you, Judy, Ariel, Lavendar, Sierra.
Thank you so much, everyone, and Merry Christmas. Happy holidays.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Good night, everyone.
You're listening to Starseed Radio Academy, empowering Starseed to better serve the planet.